This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Now, we know that masks and physical distancing are effective ways of slowing the spread of coronavirus. If you have a smartphone, you have another tool, mobile technology, that can help notify you if you've been in close proximity with someone who may have the virus. It could make a difference if people and states use this capability for contact tracing. But less than half of the states in the U.S. have developed a system for harnessing this technology. Wisconsin, for one, has not. Jeffrey Fowler is a technology columnist for The Washington Post. Jeff, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, what are these contact tracing apps, probably available on all of our cell phones, though maybe not up and running in every state? Give us the basics of how they work.
Yeah, so they're called exposure notification apps. So it's a little bit different than contact tracing. We can return to that in just a minute. But what exposure notification apps do is they let you know if you happen to spend time close to somebody who later gets a positive COVID test diagnosis. The way they do that is they use the Bluetooth on your phone. Now, Bluetooth is something we normally associate with maybe AirPods or connecting our phone to our car. Turns out Bluetooth wireless can also be used to measure the distance between people. So once you turn on one of these systems or install one of these apps on your phone, it is sort of quietly in the background, keeping track of every time you got within 6 feet of another phone for more than 15 minutes and making a note of that anonymously. And then if that person you were near later gets a diagnosis, they can push out an alert and make your phone pop up something that says something like, you have likely been exposed. You should go get a COVID test.
I think a lot of people hear this, and you write about this in your piece on this, Jeff, and think, whoa, I worry about my privacy here. What in the kinds of apps you're talking about, how do they address that concern?
Yeah, this is kind of the number one concern that Americans have about this technology, and with good reason. There, companies, cell phone companies, Apple and Google, as well as the government, have not done a very good job in America of making us trust them. This particular system, though, they've done a pretty good job with. I'm the tech columnist for The Washington Post, and most of the time my job is poking holes in the latest technology or wagging a finger at these companies for the way that they handle our privacy. But in this case, they figured out how to make these kinds of alerts work totally anonymously. And the key thing to know here is that it does not collect your location. So the GPS stuff on your phone that's used for Google Maps and other things, it doesn't use that at all. Instead, it's only collecting these anonymous Bluetooth signals from the people you happen to be nearby. There's no central database of everybody's Bluetooth signals or anything like that. It's all stored locally on your phone. And when you do get an alert on your phone, you don't know who you were exposed to or even when exactly. It just says, you were likely exposed. You should get a test.
Part of the story is getting people to activate this on their phones, but another part is to put this into practice at the state or community level. This is not universal in the country. How common is it for local or state governments to have this system in place?
Yeah, like a lot of other aspects of America's response to the COVID crisis, this technology has been done locally. There is no federal system like there is, frankly, in some other countries. There's a nationwide system using this technology. So in the U.S., every single state and territory has to develop their own technology. Some of them have made their own apps to do it. Some have just been working with Apple and Google, who developed kind of the framework of this to make it work automatically on phones. So far, there are 17 states and territories in the U.S. plus Washington, D.C. that have done this. So right now it's available to about 110 million Americans.
Is there a success story? Is there a state we can look at and say, yes, they've put this into place. People have signed up for it and it seems to be working. It seems to be letting people know, hey, you have been exposed.
It's still pretty early days, so we should start with that. The first of these in the United States rolled out in August in the state of Virginia, and it's only been in the last, I would say, 2 or 3 weeks that we've really seen a lot more turn on. So maybe a little early to know. But one example is just this week, Washington State went live with these. And within the first 4 days, they had 1 million people turn on the exposure alerts on their phones. That's, you know, about 15% of the state. And there's some research out of Oxford that says with at least 15% of a population using a system like this, it could already be preventing deaths. So part of the challenge here, though, in measuring the success of this is it's anonymous. For all those reasons that we were talking about before, that people are concerned about privacy, data does not go back to state health departments about the number of people that are getting alerts and who those people are. And in fact, some state health departments don't like this technology because of that. They say it's not as useful as it could be in doing exposure tracking and contact tracing because it is anonymous.
Talking to Jeff Fowler, technology columnist for The Washington Post, about available technology on smartphones to alert people if they've been exposed to someone with COVID-19, if they've been in proximity, I guess technically if their phones have been in proximity with one another. And Jeff, a lot of states, Wisconsin included, haven't done this. You were just starting to touch on one reason it hasn't been picked up anywhere. What has been, is it are states consciously rejecting this, or they got so much going on and they're, you know, doing everything else they can, they just haven't stumbled onto this yet? What's going on?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of issues. One, when this technology was first proposed by Apple and Google together back in the spring, there was a lot of legitimate concern that this is technology solutionism. It's a Silicon Valley, once again, thinking there's no problem that can't be solved with an app. And, you know, those are legitimate concerns. And so some states at that point decided this was not worth their resources because it does require them to either make an app or develop some kind of system, you know, at a time when resources, particularly for health departments, are strained. Technological resources may not be there as well. The good news is since then, though, it's gotten a lot easier and a lot less expensive for states to roll out this kind of technology. I know the state of New York did it recently for under $700,000 using a system that didn't even require them to make an app for folks with iPhones. It just sort of, you just go into the settings on the phone and turn it on. So it's getting easier for states to do this, but some just have other priorities.
Have we seen other countries do this at a nationwide level and have success with it?
Yeah, we have. The first was Switzerland, and they've been very open about the data, and researchers are studying and combing through that data right now to see if there's any signs of its effectiveness, and they think there are some initial ones. The UK has a system like this. Early in the coronavirus pandemic, you might have heard about people using phones in places like Singapore and South Korea. They were actually using a different technology. They were actually tracking people's locations with the phone. And that was the idea that scared a lot of Americans. And so we did not go that direction, nor did most of the rest of the world.
Are there other types of apps related to either exposure alerts like the ones we're mainly talking about, or contact tracing, or other ways to try to stop the spread of COVID-19, and how widely are they used, if so?
Yeah, there is another app that was made by a popular kind of police and crime tracking service called Citizen. Some listeners may have heard of Citizen. They made their own exposure tracking system called SafePass. It's an app you have to install on your phone. I think they've had more difficulty getting people to sign on and use it. And it's also not affiliated with state health departments. So it relies on people submitting their own and telling the truth about their own COVID tests. So I'm not certain I can 100% recommend that one. You're really better off with these systems that are coming from the state health departments.
Now, if a state like, say, Wisconsin were to say, okay, yeah, we want to do this exposure alert system on phones, what kind of, I guess, PR effort does it take to get people within the state's borders to activate their phones and to join in?
Yeah, this is such a good question because this is such a complicated problem. You have both the technology that you have to work out first. You got to figure out how to make Bluetooth wireless, measure the distance between people, and figure out the difference between a phone being in someone's pocket versus in their hand. A lot of technical things to work out. You got to get all these state health departments to kind of connect in with technology. That's a whole other challenge. And then there's this marketing challenge, right? You know, as we were saying, Americans are really skeptical about their privacy with good reason. So you have to convince them to go into their phone and either install an app or turn on some things that, you know, are kind of complicated and hard to explain and have to take a minute. And you have to trust that somebody has really, you know, made sure that they have your best interest and your privacy in mind. For that reason, I actually think Apple and Google have been almost sort of criminally negligent in not marketing these technologies. I mean, think about how many ads have you seen this fall for the new iPhone 12 and its 5G, or the new Apple Watch. The future of health is on your wrist, they say. And yet they have put almost no effort into marketing this technology that they helped develop for state health departments and country health departments. And I don't get that. I mean, Silicon Valley is very good at marketing and explaining technology to citizens. So it ought to be playing a role as well, and not just relying on health departments and, you know, politicians to do this. I mean, if the best thing you've got going for you is the state's governor going on air begging you to download an app, you're in trouble.
Switching gears, Jeff, I know there's been talk about, okay, if people have developed an immunity to coronavirus, either by having had it, hopefully that makes them immune for a while, or by getting a vaccine, hopefully soon, the idea of some kind of ID, physical card, or digital technology. What's in the works out there when it comes to that?
Yeah, this is another big potential technological solution or hurdle, depending on how we handle it. You know, when you get that shot, how will you prove that you've gotten that shot? Would that become useful as a tool for knowing, for example, who can go back to work or who can get on a plane? Right now, I've been, you know, sort of talking to folks in the industry. It doesn't look like the U.S. has a system in place, at least not yet, to make that happen via the internet or your phone. In a way that, you know, couldn't be spoofed by other people. The only thing I've heard so far is that the U.S. Army wants to give you a printed out little card that you get, physical piece of paper, after you get a shot, which of course could be probably reproduced by anybody with a photocopy machine, and is maybe not the most secure way to figure out who has and has not gotten the vaccine. So, but it's still possible. There's still time that maybe we'll figure out something, possibly using our phones as a way to securely identify who has and has not gotten that vaccine.
Jeff, thanks a lot for sharing this with us today.
You bet.
Jeff Fowler is a technology columnist at the Washington Post. We talked to him today about how contact tracing technology and exposure alert technology on phones could help fight the spread of coronavirus in the U.S. There are some issues that need to be addressed to make it more effective, in part getting states and people to start using it.